It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour three on Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Joining us in our Town Fair Tire Studios, as he does every Friday at this hour, is Christopher Elgass of the Boston Globe. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. There's breaking Patriots news this afternoon, in case you're just joining us. A fairly significant trade made by the Patriots, sending one low-round draft pick in exchange for defensive lineman Michael Bennett, a really impactful player on the field, kind of a controversial guy off the field. He is the newest member of the New England Patriots, reportedly. And your thoughts on that?
I like the move. I mean, he's a good player. He's something that they've been looking for a little while, which is a guy who can rush from the interior. Now, they would kick Trey Flowers inside to do that, but we've seen a lot of Adam Butler the last couple of years. And as I said to you off the air, I mean, who would you want rushing the passer with the game on the line? Adam Butler or this guy?
Okay, this guy.
And the teams play so much sub at this point. Everybody's out there basically in sub. Sub is the new base. You're playing so many passing attacks that if you have a guy like this who can generate pressure the way that he can up the middle, then he can make a difference for you. So I like the player. You know, let's see how much he has left in the tank. I do think it helps him that Martellus Bennett has been here.
Yep.
You know, they're used to dealing with Martellus. Martellus can tell him what it's like with the Patriots, you know, what you can and can't get away with. And I think he's a talented guy that fills a need. And let's see what the contract is. Now, I'm a little scared about the contract situation just because of what he said, which is that, you know, he's looking for a raise.
Well, so hold on, Jim. Just to reset that, this was just this morning. Just this morning, Michael Bennett was on Good Morning Football, and he said simply, because the rumors were out there that the Eagles were going to trade him or cut him or gone to him about restructuring, and he wasn't having any of that.
I'm not willing to take a pay cut. I actually want a pay raise at this point. And so whatever happens, just to know whatever team I go to, I want to get paid more than what I'm getting paid right now.
Which is usually doesn't get you off on the right foot in New England.
Well, how do you know they haven't talked to this guy?
Oh, so, but which I said usually. In this case, obviously they're comfortable with it because they pulled the trade.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they must have talked to him or his agent, you know, and sort of gotten some assurances here. They're not going to be out here saying, well, I'm not playing unless I get a raise. So I'm sure they'll work something out, whether it's keeping the existing contract in place or restructuring it somehow so that he has to earn some of this. He'll probably get the, I need to take a look at his contract, but I'm guessing he doesn't have any per game roster bonuses in there.
So he
that's a big one in Foxborough, per game roster bonus.
All he has is a $1 million roster bonus each of the next 2 years. It's not specified here whether it's on the first day of the league year, first day of the season, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll take a look during the break. I might be able to help you out there, but they might restructure this a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it does spell it out. He has per game roster bonuses of $62,500 a game, which is $1 million.
There you go.
Yep.
Oh, so it's already in there.
It's
perfect.
Already, yes.
Well, that basically explains the trade, Felge.
They love those per
game. They love those per game roster bonuses because you don't get the money unless you're on the field.
But it's only one of the 7.2. You know, the 6.2 is guaranteed week one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe they'll shift even more of that money around. There's things that they can do.
Obviously.
I just feel like if they made this deal, there must be some level of comfort with the contract and an understanding that, you know, it's not going to be a problem.
They tampered. Of course they tampered. And like, and I say that,
like maybe the Eagles gave them permission.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, there's no way you can make that deal without knowing ahead of time all the particulars. And I'm, you know, who knows, maybe Bennett was just paying lip service on TV, playing along.
Well, maybe Bennett didn't want to do it for the Eagles, but you know, the Patriots are a different deal.
I like it. Again, I like it. I sit here and I criticize the Patriots for not going and getting big name, you know, big price talent. Not that the tag on the price on this guy is all that high. Then they go get a guy like this. I'm not going to bitch about it. I like the player.
Okay. Yeah, I like him too.
What do you think it means for Trey Flowers?
You know, I don't know. I'm sort of the mindset here.
It's a good take, Chris. I like it already.
I'm of the mindset that Flowers is inclined to take the hometown discount, that if he gets something in the Brandon Graham $13 million a year range from the Patriots, I think he would be inclined to take it unless suddenly Detroit or Miami, which has been clearing out a lot of guys. There's, you know, Andre Branch is gone. There's stories out there that Cameron Wake's not going to return. They're dropping guys left and right to create space.
Danny Amendola was literally just released.
So Danny Amendola, that had been rumored for a little bit. So if Brian Flores is going to make a huge run at him and say $17 million a year and there's a $4 million gap, then I don't think he's taking that hometown discount. So I think he's inclined to return to the Patriots, but if the money gets stupid because he's the only pass rusher on the market, if it gets Nate Solder stupid,
yeah, right,
then I think he's going to go.
Okay.
But if it's close, I think he'll stay.
So you think there's a chance they keep both?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, what chance?
60-40.
I asked Gasper. No, it's good. We got Wishy and Washy over here doing the show today. Felger and Maz now replaced by Wishy Washy Radio, in case you wanted to know.
There are circumstances here. No, like,
exactly. You know? See, these guys confuse opinions with predictions. Predictions are like a-holes.
I'm not asking you for a prediction.
Predictions are an occupational hazard.
I'm not asking you for a prediction.
What does that sound?
If at this stage, would you think
well,
that
let me ask you.
Before, no, I'm asking the question first.
Okay, but no, let me ask you, though.
No, I'm a co-host on the show. You wait.
No, I'm going to, no, because it's related to what you're asking
me. Are
they
acquiring Michael Bennett, if you had to put money on it at this stage, are they acquiring Michael Bennett more to protect themselves against Trey Flowers or to put them alongside each other?
I don't think it's to protect themselves for Trey Flowers. I don't.
So they
play different positions.
So they want to put them all together.
Yeah, I mean, that would make
it
better.
So you're predicting that they'll pay Flowers.
I don't think this precludes them from signing Trey Flowers.
I didn't say it precluded. I said
you're asking me the question. I'm telling you, I don't think it precludes them from signing Trey Flowers.
I didn't say preclude. It doesn't preclude. They can do whatever they want. They got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Knowing the Patriots and how they do business, what do you think it is?
Good job, Chris.
I just don't understand the question. I told you what I think, Maz. You're trying to paint me into a corner, and exactly. I'm not going to go there. Like, this is so. Let me ask you my question.
Do you think this is insurance? They don't have to pay Trey Flowers.
No, I don't. No, I don't think it's insurance, so they don't have to pay Trey Flowers.
Okay,
I think they'll feel the market out for Trey Flowers. But I want to ask you, so by your logic, so now you feel they traded for this guy, so Trey Flowers is gone, or did you feel like he was gone before?
No, I was leaning towards he was gone. Now I feel like he's a little closer to gone.
Okay, leaning.
Yeah,
I thought gone. Now
closer.
This insurer's gone.
Yeah,
how about that?
At least I pick a side.
Leaning. Leaning's not gone, but okay.
So again, let's do it your way.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to stay, and I'm just going to wait it out.
That's a strong take.
Don't we have to know what the contract offer is? You have to know what he's willing to accept. You don't know what all the things are, so I can't predict what other teams are going to do.
Okay, well then let's not get into the possibilities of anything. Man,
like if you're asking,
none of us knows what anything's going to happen.
If you're asking me, do I think the Patriots are like now we're out on Trey Flowers because they traded for Michael Bennett? My answer is no. I don't think that's the case. I think they'll see what it is. But just like the Patriots always do,
if it gets to
a certain number, they're going to say, see you later.
These guys have a thing.
And this makes it easier for them to say that.
Do you think they're going to sign Tom Brady to a contract extension?
Yes.
Oh, so you have a take on that one.
I do.
Oh, yeah. So that's not predicting,
Do you think the sun's going to come up tomorrow?
No.
So,
I mean, of course they're going to sign Tom Brady to a contract extension.
They are?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because some people think that maybe it depends on the money. Maybe Brady would just go year to year and they franchise him.
I mean, it makes sense, I think, for both sides. You know, look, I, based on what his cap hit, the $27 million cap hit for this year, wouldn't you want to pad that with some years and spread it out and create? That's normally what they do.
I just, when did it become like somehow wrong to look at a trade like this and wonder if it's connected to another player?
It's not wrong at all.
It's not wrong. Born. No, it's not wrong.
I just think I've never been into arguing the future. I'll argue the past all day long. But arguing the future, like, it's sort of silly. because then something else happens and you have a whole new conversation on the next day. But either way, we spent enough time on this, okay? How do you feel he's going to play in the locker room and just among the public at large, given his personality and the things that he's been into before?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I was listening to your other caller. I'm just like, where was he when they signed Michael Floyd with the super extreme DUI? So you're offended because he wrote a book with the title you don't like? But the guy with the super extreme DUI gets a standing ovation the first time he catches a ball at Gillette? Give me a break, please. Please. That's absurd.
Do you want the Schiano thing I found?
Oh, yes. Okay, give me this. So
this is good, too. Go.
So this is from 2015. These quotes come from an interview that Bennett did with a radio station in Portland, Oregon. And the host asked him, "You seem like a guy who couldn't play for a stiff." And Bennett said of his playing days in Tampa Bay, quote, "Yeah, I did that before. It wasn't fun." His name is Greg Schiano.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Oh, my God. So he didn't even just sort of he didn't tiptoe around it like some people would do. He gave you the name.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he's already played for Belichick because all those guys that were with Schiano in Tampa when they had the joint practices basically said Schiano told them, well, Belichick's your coach this week. So technically, Michael Bennett's already played
but
for him.
But keep going.
Right?
Well, that was it. And then he talked about his time with the Bucks,
wow.
But that was it. Again, the host asked, "You seem like a guy who couldn't play for a stiff." Michael Bennett answers, "I did that before. It wasn't fun." His name is Greg Schiano.
That's so funny.
Wow. The witness is instructed to point to the defendant. Holy crap. Talk about identifying him in the courtroom. Wow.
Here's Charles in Haverhill on the Michael Bennett thing. Go ahead, Charles. Charles!
I just had actually two questions.
Quick.
Question and a comment. A question about what you said probably about a half an hour or so ago about Zolak and Michael Bennett being signed and him saying about being a class act. I don't remember that play, to be honest, so I'm curious on your reaction on how you felt about that last play that you're referring to, Zolak calling him a class act.
Yep.
And if you, do you support your coworkers like Kutcher and Rich and Felger? I mean, and Zolak and Bertrand, because a lot of the times that I listen, it seems like you go against what they say rather than what they do say.
I almost never mention any other show, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Was that a call from yesterday?
I don't know. Thank you. Yes, you could have called yesterday. You would have fit right in. The classes say, I was teasing, kind of. I mean, we just played a cut. The only Michael Bennett cut we have is from the last play of the Super Bowl. Not the only one, but a good one is the last play of the Super Bowl in 2014, where Bennett jumped off sides, and then when they re-snapped it, he started trying to pick a fight with Rob Gronkowski, and Zoe was sitting there calling him classless. So we played it, and then I said, I wonder what Zoe's commentary is going to be on Monday. Is he going to call him classless? Probably not. Really not that serious of a comment. So what? Are you offended? Good God. I'm Chris's thoughts on the Celtics, too.
Me, too.
Okay, so Bennett, Celtics.
If he has one.
Bruins, all these things right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
And let me tell you something else. Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid. But I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand, He's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. He wanted to go to Boston because he wanted to have his own team. And what a lot of these guys don't understand is when you're a star, and I've been a star, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That ain't right. That ain't fair. That's just how it is.
Okay, we'll get your phones in a minute. Let's just get a take from Chris here on the Celtics. The whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. Well, how they were playing before the trip to Golden State, what happened in Golden State, Kyrie's role in all of this, where you think they're headed, are you buying in at all? Just where would you go on the Celtics if you're starting your show right now?
Yeah, I mean, I still think there are some personality conflicts there and some issues there. But like I've said to you guys a million times, you know, winning is the ultimate deodorant. So they go out there and they beat Golden State and they feel good about themselves. And then they follow it up with another victory over Sacramento. And obviously they feel good. I think you're starting to see some real signs of life from Gordon Hayward, which is good because they're going to need him. Particularly, I was more encouraged by the Golden State game, not just because he scored 30 points. It was the way he did it. It was his ability to hit shots from the outside and how well he shot the ball from the perimeter. Because I think on this team, that's really where he's going to get a lot of his points. I think he can be a facilitator off the pick and roll. I know Brad likes him doing that, and that's fine. They can do that. But even in that Sacramento game, if you're watching that, Scal basically called him out for going to the hole soft and trying to throw some BS hook pass to Horford that got tipped. He's still not great finishing around rim. And I'll be honest with you, I think 8 times out of 10, that game winner he hit, he misses. So that's not really going to be his bread and butter. But if he can knock down shots from the outside and cut sort of right out of the Ray Allen playbook, which is what he did in that Golden State game, then I think he can be a really, really effective player for them scoring points. And then when he runs those pick and rolls, use that to facilitate and get other guys involved.
These last couple days, are you willing to buy in as a turning point for the team? Or you think?
I need to see a little more. Definitely encouraging. I mean, to grind that victory out without Sacramento, I think was definitely encouraging. I look at that one. I know you're going to disagree with this. I look at that game and I say, that's the ultimate win-win for them. They got the win. Some other guys got an opportunity to get shots up like Tatum. But I also think you look at that game and it was such a grind and a struggle that Kyrie Irving feels good and says, see, you need me. Mm-hmm. You need me. You know, if I'm out there, then we can walk away with this one. We close this down in the fourth quarter. And we're not worried about Hayward fouling Buddy Hield at the end.
So do you think that's going on internally?
I do think there's still sort of some of that push-pull of, you know, this idea of Kyrie wants everybody to bow to him and understand how important he is. And I mean, I have no idea what happened on that plane ride out, but I think when he talks about talking to Stevens and Ainge and realizing, remember the words he used, you know, that the competition's out there, it's not in our locker room.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Like, that's kind of was his mentality. Like, I need to show these guys who the alpha is. I need to show these guys how we're going to win, and it's with me. Wasn't he also the one when they were losing, they lost to Chicago? And he was like, I just want to get to the playoffs. And, you know, why do you believe it will be different in the playoffs?
Because of me?
Yeah, because I'm here.
Because I'm here, right?
Yeah.
Maz, your Hayward stat real quickly? You don't need the exact numbers, but...
Yeah, no worries. That they have a 750 winning percentage when he takes 10 shots, 500 when he doesn't. And in the last 13 games when he's taken 10 shots, they're 12-1. And the only one that they have lost is the Clipper game. And to me, what that speaks to more than anything isn't that he's making shots. It's his involvement. Like him being a significant part of the offense. Because I don't think he's a shoot first guy. So when he's getting 10 shots, it tells me the ball's in his hands a lot. And I think, you know,
Or that the ball's just moving in general for the team.
Okay. So,
finds him.
But I think he's sort of the key guy in that whole thing, Chris. Because he is a guy that he makes good decisions. Hayward does make good decisions.
He does.
He goes to the right place with the ball more often than not. He typically doesn't force them.
I mean, that Sacramento game, he had 3 turnovers and 5 assists. So, sure. I mean, and the Clippers game you're referencing, he had a key turnover there where he got stripped at the end for a dunk. So I'm not, you know, totally disagreeing with what you're saying, but I do disagree slightly. I think it's not about having the ball in his hands all the time. It's about him being willing to take the shots. And with their team, if they move the ball, those shots are there. Those shots he had against Golden State, those shots from the outside that he was able to make when he was 4 of 6 from three, those shots have been there for him all year. And sometimes he wants to take them, and sometimes he doesn't. You know, sometimes he'll dribble in and pass it to somebody else. And also those shots he gets when he cuts to the basket and he plays off the ball, those are there too. The pick and roll stuff, Brad will let him do that because, to your point, Maz, he trusts him, he likes him, he's a good facilitator, he does make good decisions with the ball. But I don't see him.
I think Brad wants it. I think that's how Brad wants the offense run, and not with Kyrie Irving just dribbling it out.
I mean, there's probably some truth to that. I think Kyrie has made a real effort, though, to try and be more of a facilitator, I'd say, over the last month and a half.
He has. And Golden State, he was just part of a piece. He was an ensemble player, you know, where everyone played well, which is
Cleveland.
What they... No, no.
No, no, no. The Golden State game.
Okay, you got it.
That was a great game to watch.
In Golden State, they all played well. He was just a piece of it. It wasn't through him. It wasn't about him.
Yep.
And that's what the team ultimately wants. I think the big fault line is, can Kyrie accept that? You know, if it goes through Hayward a lot, can he accept that? You know, if they draw up a final play like they did in Orlando where Hayward has the option and he doesn't go to him, is Kyrie okay with that? You know, that to me is the hurdle. So
they cut to the basket exceptionally well in the Golden State.
They did.
Not just him, the team.
No, I agree.
Jalen Brown was doing
it. No, it was good. There was a lot of flow there, and I think that's when they're at their best, and I think that's when Hayward's at his best. You know, I do think, like, suddenly thinking, like, okay, let's put the ball in Hayward's hands all the time and let him run pick and roll. They tried to do that at the beginning of the year. Now he's healthier now. Do some of that because it does help them, but I still think his points in this offense are going to come from overall ball movement and the ability to hit some of those outside shots.
Okay, calls on everything so far today. Dean in Shrewsbury with a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Dean.
Hi. I would take Jaylen Brown over Buddy Hield in a redraft because of age, but I think it's starting to get really close that we might have made a mistake there.
Okay. Was that the same draft?
I'm trying to think off the top of
Hield
my head.
Jamal Murray was also in that draft.
Yeah. Didn't Hield go like seventh in that draft?
Just anyway, your thoughts on Hield. So they had a chance at him. Did they miss?
I mean, I like Buddy Hield a lot. I think he can shoot the ball from the outside, and he's certainly gotten the opportunity in Sacramento. I mean, he was a big part of that trade. You know, Boogie Cousins going to New Orleans. I mean, the Kings, that was the guy they had to get in that deal was Buddy Hield. You know, I like him. When I look at the Celtics, could they use a little more perimeter shooting? Sure, there's no question about it. But I'm not ready to.
Redraft,
I'm a big Jaylen Brown guy, so I'm not ready to write it off.
Okay, and I think Jaylen Brown's really shown flashes here in the not flashes.
I mean, if you said Jamal Murray, then I probably would give
it to
him.
Here it is. Redraft the 2016 NBA draft. Right now, it's Ben Simmons 1, Brandon Ingram 2, Jaylen Brown 3, Jrue Bender 4, Chris Dunn 5, Buddy Hield 6, Jamal Murray 7. Give me your new top 3.
I probably would go Jamal Murray 1. Jaylen 2nd, Buddy Hield 3rd.
Those three guys to me are the top three in the draft. Those three guys.
Okay.
You know, Hield is shooting 44% from three-point land.
He can shoot.
And 42.5% for his career.
But it's hard to compare Brown to Hield at this point because, you know, Hield's on a team that, even though they're competing for a playoff spot this year, they're rebuilding. And normally I would say classic case of guy putting up numbers on a bad team, but they're not a bad team. They're an okay team. But Jaylen Brown's playing on a team that's a contending team. So as a younger player, you don't get as many opportunities to pad your stats and get your numbers. Also, Buddy Hield has a real, much like Jaylen Brown, neither one of those guys should really be handling the basketball. Neither one of them is a great ball handler by any means.
And Hield's not a great defensive player and won't be.
Ken in Sturbridge on Michael Bennett to the Pats. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I saw earlier this week Mark Tellez Bennett jokingly talking about rejoining the Patriots. Now, what do you think his chances are him coming back?
Yeah, so that was
now?
Just, I don't know if Murray said this on the air or off. I'm sorry.
Off, but Adam Schefter tweeted minutes ago that Michael and Martellus Bennett always wanted to play together. Now that the Patriots are trading for Michael, Martellus is interested in coming out of retirement to join his brother in New England, per a source.
So my issue with these guys, it's not political. It's not. But I find them to be a pain in the ass, both of them. And Martellus, you know, maybe it's a Packer thing. It just sort of rubs me wrong what he did to Green Bay and just, you know, the way he handled that.
Yeah, he quit on the team and quit on the coach.
And just quit,
yeah,
you
just
know,
like the quarterback.
Quit just to get out of there. Well, he did
yeah.
too.
Am I wrong?
No, but
okay.
A little different.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
To get out of the
different.
Contract?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it's just.
No. I mean, Aaron Rodgers quit in that he didn't put as much into it, but at least he showed up. At least he didn't fake an injury. To get out of it. What, you're going to equate the two? Make yourself feel better?
I'm just saying, like, if you're talking about quitting on the team and quitting on the coach, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he'd had enough of McCarthy. That was pretty apparent.
Did he fake an injury to get out of a contract?
No.
Did he fake an injury to get traded to another team?
No.
Little different. So, I don't know.
But you only care because it's your team, though.
And I qualified that. I said, yes, this might be a little Packer thing. But anyway, it happened. It did. So, Be that as may, Bill obviously doesn't care because he's bringing this guy in. Yeah. He had the brother, so he's obviously good with them.
Can we also talk about when Martellus Bennett was here? I mean, he was tough as nails. He played through like every injury.
He did. So, right?
So I think if you, like a lot of guys, if you put him into the Patriot environment, especially guys that haven't, the difference with Bennett is that he's, you know, Michael Bennett is that he's won. You know, Martellus hadn't. I think a lot of times they get those guys who haven't won. And they'll come here and they'll change. They'll do almost anything. Like Bennett played through like a million injuries when he was here. So it wasn't really a problem like it was in Green Bay. I'm not condoning what he did in Green Bay. That's not right. But if you're worried about him doing that here, it's like, well, he was already here and he didn't do it. It was actually the complete opposite.
No, they'll conform. I'm just telling you, I'm not a huge, not a giant fan of the Bennetts.
Okay.
Just not. We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady's under center. He taps Stork and the Seahawks encroach. Tom Brady got Seattle to jump. The Seahawks overly aggressive.
They jumped.
And Tom Brady buys some room with the flags to the turf.
Encroachment. Defense number 72. 5-yard penalty. Go first down.
Seattle does have the one timeout left. 20 seconds to go. Brady back under center. Tom has the snap, and Brady drops to his knee. 18 seconds. Timeout. Seahawks.
Classless group.
Extra
Seattle
pushing
Seahawks.
And shoving. Seahawks, and boy, you got a couple of Seahawks out there.
Classless.
Michael Bennett among them.
Get him out. What a classless.
Instigating what results in a melee in the end zone.
No class.
Five. After the play, personal foul, unnecessary roughness. Instigator number 51 has been ejected. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
So that's the classless cut the caller was referring to last segment. As he ended Super Bowl 49 against Seattle, if Bennett jumped off sides, then he and Gronkowski got into it. Outside of that play, Bennett was a freaking force in that game. Oh, my God. He almost single-handedly. He was just in Brady's kitchen the entire game. So now he's a New England Patriot. How do you feel about it? Dan and Quincy, go ahead.
Oh, this is beautiful. I'm dancing around the kitchen, cooking my chicken palm. This is beautiful. How much of that 6.2 is guaranteed, Felger?
None, zero.
Ah, even better. Even better. And Tony, what's wrong with somebody wanting a good deal in life?
Nothing. Who said there was anything wrong with it?
Because you keep saying, you say the Patriots love a good deal.
They
and
do.
I wasn't sure you were saying that as a compliment or as just a rip.
No, they do. Know. Well, the rip in it is that it often prevents them from getting real great impact players. But in this case, I'm happy.
Oh, okay. Well, I know.
Well, you don't like good players?
I love good players. But they get good talent and they get a good deal. And by the way, they don't rip anybody off on the other side. The other team, a transaction is good for both sides. The other team has to.
I don't care about the other
deal.
Side.
I mean, they're not ripping anybody off.
I don't care about the other side. I don't care if they do rip the other team off. That means it's a good trade for them. What do I care about that for?
Exactly. So, I mean, who doesn't like a good deal? I mean, this is great. And maybe Danny Amendola can come back and he can pay the Patriots for playing to them. I mean, this is they're obviously emphasizing pass rush now since Patricia left through the playoffs last year. That was the single biggest difference between winning it last year and not winning it the year before. I love this team. And by the way,
You know what? I'm going to cut you right there, Danny. You love the deal. Good positive take from you. But Chris was mentioning this earlier about let's see how the pass rush looks this year with the new defensive coordinator. I mean, and again, Chris said this, but tons of scheme with their pressures last year.
They really schemed it up. I thought Flores did a really good job. You know, there were a lot of stunts and twists and games, and they did a lot of stuff where you weren't sure if a linebacker was coming, and then it was sort of, you know, those green dog blitzes and all that other stuff that they talk about where, okay, I don't have to worry about this back, so now I'm coming. There'd be times that they really mess with a lot of protections, particularly in the playoffs with the Chargers and the Chiefs.
But again, it wasn't one-on-one pass rush.
No, they didn't have a lot of guys who could win one-on-one. Van Noy could do it a little bit. Flowers is clearly the best guy at that. When they let Hightower do it, he could do it sometimes. But guys that just one-on-one are going to win and get to the quarterback, they didn't really have a lot of those guys, which is why they had to play the style of defense they had to play to put pressure on the quarterback.
So let's see what Schiano does, if he's as creative with it as Flores was, and how he handles a guy who, frankly, hates him. Because you go back to Michael Bennett's comments, playing under Greg Schiano in Tampa Bay, it's not pretty.
Yeah, again, so these are quotes from 2015 in an interview he did on Portland Sports Radio in Oregon. The host asked him, "You seem like a guy who couldn't play for a stiff." Bennett said, quote, "Well, I did that before. It wasn't fun in Tampa Bay. His name is Greg Schiano." And this from another article that posted in 2013 in the New York Daily News, former Buccaneers players talking about playing for Greg Schiano, said Bennett, "I think he just wants to flex his power. He has small man syndrome. I still talk to guys who were there, and trust me, there's not much respect for him in that locker room."
Ooh.
Man, this is tremendous
moly
for us. Meanwhile, he's an anthem sitter, or he has been in the past. Jane in Maine, your thoughts on that?
Hi. I just want to say I'm 86 years old, and I watch the Patriots in their very first year, 1960. I'm a Korean War Navy veteran. My husband served all over the world, including Vietnam. And I think you find out there's an awful lot of people in the stands that have served their country that feel the same way.
Okay, Jane, thank you for the call and thank you for your service. How do you feel about his political stance and how that's going to play here or on the Patriots or anywhere?
Well, it'll be interesting because you look at guys who've, you know, done stuff in the past, and Bills sort of nipped that in the bud. They had the game against the Texans in 2017, where obviously after the comments by the president, you had guys that chose to kneel, and they thought about that. There was a lot of thought that went into that. From those guys, I know, from talking to Devin McCourty and other guys on that team. So obviously, it's their right to do so, to express themselves. That's one of the things that the brave men and women of the military, you know, fight for us, is our right to express ourselves, even if they don't necessarily agree with it. So I don't think Bill's going to want him to do it, though. I think there'll be a conversation between Michael Bennett and Bill about it.
He didn't do it last year in Philly, did he?
I just was looking that up, and there were times that he did. According to some of this, like, I'm just looking at some of these things, games, you know, Michael, I think he skipped it a couple of times and I think he sat a couple of times.
We don't spend hardly any time on this, and I'm not a railer against the kneelers.
Sure. Just remember why they're kneeling. Like,
sure.
There's not just kneeling to kneel or because they're not patriotic. I mean, you have to sort of remember there's a symbol, you know, it's a symbol for something, and that is racial inequality, right? And social justice in the United States. So, you know, these guys aren't just, it's not like, hey, just look at me, you know, I'm going to sit out the anthem, look at me. There is a reason behind that. And I think too often we forget about that reason and we just start taking stock of who's standing, who's not.
Yeah, I don't lose sight of why they're doing it. And I don't necessarily disagree with them. I'm just trying to tell you, and this is a small point. The sitting, like, is even, I feel like, even more disrespectful. Like, taking a knee, you know, they're still sort of with their teammates. The knee is sort of a half gesture, but it's just, I don't know. The pictures I've seen of Michael Bennett just sitting there on the bench, you know, just sitting. Like, I don't know. I tell you, the Bennett's kind of bug me. But that's not to say they aren't good players or won't fit here or won't work here. That's just,
I mean, Martellus was a fantastic teammate when he was here. Like, he was really beloved. And you know who loved him the most was Brady, who thought he was a super reliable guy to the point that he tried to force feed him the game winning touchdown in Super Bowl 51
right.
when he shouldn't have thrown him the ball. I mean, it was like they wanted it for him so bad. So it worked out really well with Martellus.
Kevin in New Hampshire has a thought on this deal. Go ahead, Kevin.
How you guys doing? Dwayne Allen's money, because he was a cap casualty, was what, $5 million, and Bennett's is pretty damn close to that. And you know, I really believe they're going to sign Flowers, but someone's got to go. What do you guys think? It's McCourty. I don't think it's McCourty, but someone, maybe Dante Hightower.
Okay, so let me just stop you. Of the guys that have the big money next year, Gronkowski, McCourty, Hightower, handicap their returns.
Gronkowski, I think that one's sort of, you know, up to him to a large degree. I'm surprised he hasn't made that call yet.
At the same money?
I mean, I think he'd have to earn some of it. I think it's the same money, but it's not packaged the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you playing? Are you on the field? Mm-hmm. Are you producing? If
per,
you are, you'll
game
get,
roster.
Yeah,
bonuses.
If you are, you'll get all your money. If you're not, we have to protect ourselves here.
Yeah.
So I'd go with that one. When I look at McCourty, that $13 million cap hit, I think he'll still be here, but I would think they have to do something with that. That seems a little high to me.
I mean, can we assume?
And Hightower.
His agent has said that he's not taking a cut. He's not taking an adjustment. So I would assume that means that's what that means. He's not taking
which
a cut.
Which means he's gone.
Or an adjustment. Well, if you have somebody to replace him. The other factor there is that Van Noy's in the last year of his deal, and the way he's played the last couple of years, he's going to get paid.
No question.
So you got to figure that out. So are they in the linebacker market this offseason? Are they looking at somebody like a Jordan Hicks, who played with Michael Bennett in Philadelphia? Are they trying to buttress that? Do they go and do it in the draft? So you have to sort of figure that out from a team building standpoint, because you have a lot of moving pieces at that position.
Hightower's the lowest of the three, right?
I believe so.
Okay, if I were them, I wouldn't mess with that. I think there's value in Hightower's leadership, his smarts, all of that. And you know what? It's the numbers 8.5 or something. I pay that. If I'm them, I don't pick that fight. And as it pertains to Gronk, just quickly, Schefter's reporting that Martellus wants to come back, right?
Yeah.
Do you think this is all sort of the Patriots knew all of this? In other words, they made the trade for Michael knowing that they were also going to get Martellus.
Wait, so what did Martellus do last year?
I don't think he played.
He didn't play.
Was he in camp? Did he even try?
No.
That was it.
Last time he played was for the Patriots.
So I wonder. I don't know. They need a tight end.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it seems to make sense to me that they just went out and got both Bennetts.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There are people down there in that area, I'm told, who say that this story is going to heat up and get a lot worse. And I don't mean involving Robert Kraft. I'm talking about with all the human trafficking that has gone on down there. I'm also told that Robert Kraft is not the biggest name involved down there. in South Florida, and we'll see what police turn up in the report.
So, like I said earlier, a little bit of a reach. I don't know if Schefter was referring to the president when he made those comments a couple weeks ago. But anyway, close enough to get us into the topic, the story in the Miami Herald today, detailing Trump's relationship, you know, and again, we can debate how deep of a relationship it is with a spa owner down in Florida who used to own the Orchids of Asia Day Spa and many, many like it that have been under investigation for prostitution and widely known to be places where men can go and get sex acts performed on them. She owned the Orchids of Asia before she sold it several years ago.
It had a different name then, right?
The Tokyo Day Spa.
Correct.
Which is how we all knew it as when we used to go. The Tokyo Day Spa. There's still a chain of those. She has reportedly sold her interest in those, but she sold them right around the time that Trump took office, and she sold them to her parents. Her husband still works at the day spas and is the manager of the flagship location of the Tokyo Day Spa.
Flagship.
If you want to go to the original flagship location where it all started, where the magic started.
More lotions at the flagship.
So she was
It's like the original McDonald's.
Different oils at the flagship. Yeah.
She was photographed with Donald Trump during his annual Super Bowl watch party at his country club, not Mar-a-Lago on Palm Beach, the country club in West Palm.
Oh.
So she was photographed there, but that's really just the tip of the iceberg. She's become a
gadfly?
I was going to say gadfly. Does that qualify?
Yeah, sure.
She's in his vast outer orbit where she's been at Mar-a-Lago several times and photographed with Trump's kids, Trump's confidants, other big Republican, you know, like the governor, Rick Scott, the senator. Can't remember the governor's name, but whatever.
Oh, DeSantis.
DeSantis, thank you. So she's sort of
Rick DeSantis
in this orbit, both at Mar-a-Lago, other Republican events, and it all sort of started when Trump took office. That's when she sort of stepped away from the massage business, the parlor business, selling it to her parents, and her husband still works in it. And so she was photographed there with Trump during the Super Bowl, but that's really just the tip of the iceberg. You have any thoughts on that story or where we stand here with the Robert Kraft story in general?
Yeah, I mean, not so much on that story because I'm still not 100% convinced that that connects to Robert Kraft. But just in general, where this is going, now that he has these three high-powered lawyers, it just seems like this is right out of the Patriots' playbook for any sort of scandal or accusation against them, which is fight to the bitter, bitter end, find any way you can to make sure that it doesn't stick, and just fight tooth and nail so that you can say at the end of it, whenever anybody casts any aspersions on you or says, hey, what about that time that you say, well, technically, XYZ, which I think is important to them. And so that's what fascinates me about this, because I feel like, look, from what I understand, and you guys have talked about it more than I have, correct me if I'm wrong here, but basically he could reach a deal. He wouldn't have to take any responsibility, really. And
the reporting that I've understood is if he cops a plea, accepts responsibility, the charges will be dropped and the record will be expunged.
Yeah, after he completes the community service.
Correct.
But there's no admission of guilt there.
Correct.
I mean, so it's taking responsibility, but there's no actual admission of guilt
to
the charges.
That's right.
So there's no admission of guilt. You do the community service. Once it's completed, it's expunged. To me, that seems like a no-brainer. So why else would you fight like this to the bitter, bitter end, which it seems like that's what we're in for. Well, I mean, you don't hire three high-powered attorneys like this, so you know, to do a deal.
My belief is that maybe this is spilling into the political realm. If Trump's involved, the Democrats are going to go after him. They're going to start digging on this if they haven't already. Okay, they've gone after everything else, and this is what our stupid political climate has become, where you just investigate each other when you lose an election.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
But basically, that's what it's become.
Well, some people, I mean, look, they're different. Certainly, Hillary Clinton, her role in Benghazi, she deserved to be investigated. Mm-hmm. The question there, I think, was improper handling of emails. Basically, the question was incompetence. Mm-hmm. The question, I think, with Trump is malfeasance. It's completely different.
It's same principle.
I mean, both deserve investigations, but it's not like, hey, we're just investigating this guy because we lost the election. Are you an agent of a foreign country?
Lose an election, investigate the guy. That's what it's become. It's a complete waste of time.
I don't know. I think there's a little false equivalence.
Okay, Stormy Daniels, why are we spending time on this?
Because it could be an illegal campaign contribution.
For God's sakes. Whatever. Anyway, that's a whole side story. I'm just telling you, if the Democrats are going to go after Stormy Daniels, they're going to go after Cindy Ling. Cindy Ling. I can't remember her last name. They're going to go after this madam. I mean, they're going to go after her. I mean,
she's a spa, former spa.
Yeah.
Whose former spas were as dirty as Orchids of Asia.
So all I'm saying is, if this is now going to spill into a political realm,
yes,
and Robert's involved in any way, it doesn't surprise me that he hired a high-powered, you know, Washington, D.C. lawyer who worked on George Bush's staff and just helped Kavanaugh with his...
Oh, Burke? Yes. That guy, William Burke?
Yeah, so like that sort of makes sense to me. Maybe he knew...
But let me ask you this, though. So do you're basically saying... Let me make sure I'm understanding. You're saying he's doing this to save Trump? Because I look at this and I think this is every man for himself. Like, I think he's doing this to save himself. What does he care about Trump? I mean, I know they're friends,
No, I don't think he's doing it to save Trump. And I can't tell you exactly the connection there or the dots. All I know is started with him. Now here comes the Trump angle. Let's just see where this goes.
Yeah, I think this is all about Robert trying to find a way out of this and trying to preserve his reputation. And so my question is here, I'm not a lawyer. I have no idea how this works. But for me, if I'm in that state attorney's office and I see him lawyering up like this, I sort of think about it and say, you know what? You know, from what I understand, the law in Florida is like very specific. You need like, you know, real proof that basically somebody asked for this. There's no audio on this video. And I say the way he's luring up is going to be tough for us to win this case. We can't win the case. So this, you know, this evidence here is not admissible once it gets leaked, but we don't need it because we're not going to win the case anyway. So, you know, you just sort of say, will you take the deal? You don't threaten him. Just will you take the deal? He doesn't take the deal being a pain. It's like, oops, that evidence leaked.
Of course.
You know? And then to me, that's
like... isn't that going to open them up to a massive lawsuit, Chris?
Maybe. But to me, that's like you, you won the battle, but you lost the war.
There's a lot of laws on the books that you have to admit the evidence or you're allowed to admit the evidence.
No, but he says if the... How did you phrase it?
I was saying if they feel like they can't win the case at all,
well, you still go to court and submit your evidence.
He's saying before it even gets to
I'm saying before it even gets to that, because then it wouldn't be admissible, right?
No.
If it was leaked into the public realm.
If the DA wants to bust Kraft's balls, and the DA knows he has a losing case, he can still take it to court and say, Your Honor, here's our evidence.
Sure.
Here's the tape.
And then it's part of the public record.
And then it's part of the public record. Right. You don't have to.
Right. But the way he had framed it was that they would leak it beforehand.
They don't need to.
Yeah, I see your point. You're saying they don't have to do that.
Yeah, if law enforcement lets that video get into anybody's hands, there will be a massive lawsuit.
They don't have to.
Massive.
All they have to do is go through with the case, and then it's part of the public record. The judge, not investigators, has to make it public. Those are the laws in Florida. And okay, Robert, you want to go to court? Let's go to court. Here's our evidence. Boom. Exhibit A. Let's watch the tape.
I'm just curious what he feels like his lawyers can do to make sure that video never sees the light of day. Because to me, that's more important than anything else.
Yes.
Regardless of the plea deal, you being exonerated or not, whatever. The most important thing is that video, that's the win. The win is that the video never gets out. If that video gets out by hook or by crook, I don't care what it says legally. I don't care what's on your record, what's expunged, whatever. You lost. The video gets out, you lose.
It's over. There's no question about it.
I mean, I think he's already lost. Like, I don't think people are going to look at this and change their minds just by having seen the video or not having seen the video.
If you've read the police report, it's true. If you read the actual visit, the actual details of the visit, especially the second one.
He was there.
Well, not just there. I mean,
right.
That
I mean,
second one
he was ready to roll.
Relatively graphic. Yeah. Yes.
He was here for what, 14 minutes? Mm. Is that what it was? 14 minutes?
Took him 3 minutes to be naked on the table.
Second time in 18 hours or something like that? I mean, he knew every bit, you know, he knew very well what he was going in for and how long it was going to take.
But we've all been down this road before, right?
Like, the video makes it worse.
Yeah, you hear something and then you actually see it and you're like, oh, wow, that's worse than I thought. So it's like, you know, I think it could be worse.
Michael Jackson documentary. It's not exactly breaking news. We've known this since 93. You watch this thing on HBO. It's like, my God.
It's a lot of cringing. Yeah.
Let's not make that comparison, shall we, please? I think that's a little different.
Well, right.
On that note, we still have plenty of crap against the wall today, though, boy. Let me tell you this. And we didn't even get to things that make white people uncomfortable. We'll do that next week, Chris.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm all about that. Bring me in for that one.
Thanks for coming in. No commercials here, 90 seconds. And we're right back for a final hour of Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.